I was at the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast 6.0 this weekend, and there was a lot of great stuff there. Plus, you might be able to modify your console without voiding the warranty. Tonight is April 22nd, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. The chat room is back. I was off for a week and the chat room went away. Then they fixed it. I didn't do anything. But it's fixed. So I did it all. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition. A one-off edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. I'll explain that comment in a second, because there's going to be no shows for a bit. But if you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It is back. It is at live.vognetwork.com. If you don't have an IRC client, it is just IRC. If you don't have an IRC client, it didn't work last week while I wasn't here, and I feel really bad for Orange Lounge Radio. I put in a workaround to get to the chat, but you won't need it. But it's still there, so don't get confused at the text underneath the chat room. It's at live.vognetwork.com. Thank you so much for being here. If you're on the site, you can check in. That didn't go away. But you can check in and get some points. It is the end of the April leaderboard, or almost here. Just like Matt Cube and Orange Wright, who I know is happy about the chat room being back. So if they checked in at some point during the intro to the show, you can too. If you're listening to the podcast feed, there will be a passphrase somewhere in the episode, and you'll actually have a long time to put it in on the site. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up the Skype line and a toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can comment on an episode at vognetwork.com. Did Hogwash break the chat, asks Stalker Man. Yes, or if Hogwash is called a security certificate. Basically, the exact same thing that took Oculus Rifts offline for an entire day a couple months ago took down the chat on our website. But it was somebody else's security certificate, and they fixed it, so it's all good. So, yes. There was no show last week because I went to go to a concert, and it was Weird Al, and it was a great show, and I'm glad that I went. So there was no show last week, and there's going to be no show the following 2 weeks from now. So I'm actually going to be off for 2 weeks. I did not record anything at where I was this weekend, so there's not going to be like a show that comes on in the middle. So May 13th, which I believe is Mother's Day, is going to be the next live show. There's a lot of great indie podcasts. OLR is one. And there's a bunch at VogNetwork.com. There are a bunch that aren't at VogNetwork.com. I hope that you can find something to satisfy the 1 hour a week that you usually spend listening to me, which I am grateful for. And I hope that you will be back when we come back on May 13th after tonight's episode of the show. This weekend, I was at the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast. It's the sixth version, so it's the 6.0. Stalkerman asked a retro PC convention. That may be the nerdiest thing ever. It may be, but that's not what this was. It's according to Stalkerman, who is Breakman, by the way, it's probably worse. It's a vintage computer festival, not just PCs. We're talking like there were Altairs there. There was a punch card reader there. We're talking before PCs. There were PCs there. There were Apple IIes. There were old calculators and electronics, like a lot of the old Mattel handheld games. Lots of Commodore 64s. Like one of the guys that helped design the VIC-20 was actually there speaking on Saturday. So it's all vintage electronics. So it was a great history lesson as well. And there was a lot of things that you don't think you'd ever see again. And also some people really collect things that are kind of considered not as mainstream. So like you wouldn't even expect to see them at a place like this. Because the person that was next to me, who actually was in the YouTube video that I shot 2 years ago, he actually brought all of his MSX stuff. And he actually had them set up. He took up like three tables, and they were all in chronological order. So they were here was the MSX 2, the MSX, and then here was the MSX 2, and then they were going to make the MSX 3, but they couldn't get the parts, so they made the MSX 2 Plus, and he had that, and then the MSX R or something like that, and then it just kept going around the table all the way to the last MSX, and he would have different things hooked up there. So it was kind of interesting. He had like eight or nine of them all around this table, and. Tiger Claw asked, did they have the ColecoVision Atom? So it's not a did the convention or did the festival have it in the sense of the festival sucked because it didn't have it. These are all personal collectors. And so I know that I've seen one there before. I don't know if that particular person was there this year. So it all depends on what the individual members bring. And there are people that come from far away. Like there was a guy that flew in from Seattle for this weekend. There was a guy right across from you I'm going to talk about for a little bit. He came up from Tallahassee, Florida. So people come from all around to come to show off stuff here. And there are other vintage computer festivals around the country run by the same federation that kind of oversees all these. In fact, Vintage Computer Festival East, I think, was last weekend up in New Jersey. So there's like one in the Midwest, there's a West one, and it's all the same kind of overseeing governing body that oversees these. So I don't remember seeing like an Intellivision, which was what I grew up on. But I'm sure at some point somebody has brought one. And JD says Tallahassee's not too bad to drive to Atlanta. It's not that bad. I mean, it's about 6 or 7 hours. Like the guy from Seattle flew. And I don't think he actually brought anything. I think he just showed up. But it was very neat. The person that was across from you came up from Tallahassee, actually. Because there's a lot of people that collect, like, Commodore 64s and the Commodore brand, and he's big into that. But everybody already collects that and shows that off. So he decided to go the Texas Instrument route. So he had, like, five or six TI-99s, 4As, in various states of modification or originality and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool. He actually had – people are still making software for it. People are still making D-makes. Like, he actually had Super Mario Brothers for the TI-99, and you could play it. There was a Dr. Mario clone that he had. There was a Flappy Bird for the TI-99 that he pulled up. And he even actually wrote some stuff. He said he actually wrote some music for the sound chip and stuff. But he also had apparently – and I didn't know this, but there was a Kickstarter recently. Somebody found – or a company had, they found the original molds for the cases for the Commodore 64. So like the shells of the Commodore 64. And so they actually did a Kickstarter and they actually sold, they made new shells that fit the old hardware. And they sold them in different colors, they were clear. And so he actually had breakdowns, like he actually had all the boards out so you could see what was inside a lot of these old machines. So it was really neat. But one of the things he was telling me that they started doing on the TI-99. Now, TI-99, realized, really old computer. But if given enough memory, you can do amazing stuff. Apparently, somebody out there figured out you need a 4-meg cartridge for this to run on actual hardware, which doesn't exist. You have to get a 2-meg cartridge and expand it somehow. Because now they've actually started realizing they can actually like use chips on the cartridge and add more capability to the TI-99. So, but with a 4-meg cartridge, you can actually play Dragon's Lair on a TI-99. And I'm not talking the NES version of Dragon's Lair that was a side-scroller. No, I am actually talking about the full-motion video Dragon's Lair with sound on a TI-99 4A. You just got to have a cartridge that has 4 megs on it. There is a YouTube video up of this. And yes, JD, the Laserdisc one. I'm talking the Laserdisc version. If you go to my Twitter feed at Bobby Blackwolf, I actually tweeted out the YouTube link that he was showing. So go to my Twitter page. I posted it on Sunday, April 22nd, probably around 4 o'clock. So if you're listening on the podcast feed, just go back and you will see it. And I think only one person has ever gotten it to run on actual hardware, because it's very difficult to make a 4 meg cartridge. But it runs completely in they're running it in the emulator, in the TI-99 emulator. Probably will run on a RetroPie if that supports TI-99. But yeah, it is great. Dark Tetsuya says, I know the MSX could do that. Konami ported one of their FMV games, Badlands, to MSX LD. And I am pretty sure that was probably one of the things that he showed, that Skywells is what he goes by on Twitter. That's probably one of the things he showed with the MSX. But yes, there's their YouTube. We're going to do this. I'm going to open up this YouTube. You can't see this YouTube on the podcast, but I think this has sound. So this is the actual sound from the YouTube video. So you can actually hear that this is Dragon's Lair running on a TI-99, and it's loading up. And you could actually, like, this is the Laserdisc version right here. And so this is where he's going across the bridge, and he's hitting the swords on the guys, and he's going up. And now he's getting into the castle. Now you got to pick which side, you go to the right, and you avoid the thing. So yeah, so that's what Dragon's Lair on a TI-99 sounds like. Integral says, it's just pixelated video. Yes, it is, but it's a TI-99. Like, yes, it's that in alone is impressive. Having pixelated video on a TI-99 is really impressive. And Kazin asks, what does a Laserdisc reader even look like? Is it the size of a Papa John's medium pizza box? I have Laserdisc players, like, because this is not about games, but movies. Like, my dad actually was bought on Laserdisc early. He bought into all of the failed platforms early. Laserdisc, Betamax. So we had a lot of Laserdisc, both from the 70s and in the resurgence in the late 80s, early 90s. So we actually have Laserdisc players. They look like DVD players, except the tray that opens up is the same size as a vinyl record. That's about the only difference. Vintage Computer Festival West, which is under the same umbrella as where I went this weekend, is in Mountain View, Mountain View, California, the first weekend in August. It's at the Computer History Museum near Google's campus. Now, that is the thing that where this was held is, this was held here in Atlanta, and it's at the Computer Museum of America, which they're building right now. And so I don't know if it's related to the Computer History Museum on Google's campus, but they actually had, you could see some windows looking into where they're building, and they're actually going to be opening in late 2018. And it's looking impressive. Like, the renderings that they've got, and they had a 3D printed, model of what it's going to look like. They're actually going to have, like, a maze of Cray supercomputers. So you actually walk through this maze that's made out of the old Cray supercomputers and stuff like that. It's actually looking like it's going to be really nice, and I'm excited because it's literally 5 miles away from my house. So that's where this was held, and it's going to be a really impressive museum. Phase one opens later this year, and they've already told me they do kind of want me there to cover it on behalf of Vogue Network. So maybe later this year there's going to be some vintage computing going on here at VogueNetwork.com. So it was a lot of fun being there. The guy that was actually next to the guy doing the TI-99 stuff was actually showing off his Atari Lynx collection. And he even had a new Atari, or not a new Atari Lynx, but an Atari Lynx where they replaced the screen. So it's got, like, this really nice backlit, beautiful screen. He has, like, 45 of the 90 games released for the Lynx. So he's working on getting the last ones. He had them all. What's funny is he actually puts the cartridges for the Lynx in Game Boy Color cartridges. Because I'm like, this looks like a Game Boy cartridge. He's like, that's right. It is. So he had that, that was really cool to see. I was there as well, and I brought basically my Twitch setup. So I was even telling, you know, people were like, you actually stream from this computer? And I'm like, no, I stream from a different computer. It just comes out of this machine. But I had my demo scene set up, so I was playing some old PC demos. And thankfully, none of the Amiga people were there, so we didn't have a demo off. Although there was a demo, just kind of like the ones that I was playing, except it was made recently for the TI-99, and that was running across from me. So there was it was called Don't Mess with Texas, is the name of this of a demo that was made for the TI-99. But I ran through my stuff, and then I had the Roland MT-32 there, so I was playing old Sierra games along with Monkey Island, because I have Monkey Island on there. So that one would get played, and that one actually, some people actually came back and would like shut down what I was running and go into Monkey Island. So Monkey Island, it makes the Sierra fanboy in me weep that it, like, oh, I'm going to quit out of the Sierra game and boot up a Lucasfilm games, because that's terrible. Like, that was my fanboy war as a kid, with Sierra versus Lucasfilm. You know how today it's Xbox versus PlayStation and stuff like that. No, me, it was Sierra versus Lucasfilm. So I died a little inside every time that would happen. Breakman asks, are the Lynx games actually fun? I don't know. I've never played it. I mean, it's the game. It didn't matter about the Lynx itself. It was the games that were on it. This guy apparently liked it because he's trying to collect all the games. No, there's no, you know, you can't have. I mean, there were Atari games, kind of later in life. JDS, sounds like the Computer History Museum in Atlanta is run by Georgia Tech. No, it is not. It's another nonprofit entity that runs it, and is working on it. But it's actually not Georgia Tech that did the designs. It was Savannah College of Art and Design who actually did like a lot of the 3D renderings and the mockups and the design of the interior of the space. And that's not Georgia Tech. That's like the art, one of the big art schools here in the Atlanta area. So it was actually through them, and they're the ones that kind of built. And it was a student project, I think. But no, it's actually its own separate nonprofit entity, and it's actually going to be really cool. And I will show you more about it when it comes out. So SJ100 Matt asked, "What was the noise complaint?" So unfortunately, because they are still building the museum next door, and we were technically in the event space, so the space we were in is, you know, pretty much done. They're also going to have a classroom, and they were hoping to have the classroom ready for this weekend, and it wasn't. So all the speakers and where they were speaking, there were actually only two speakers, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. And they used to have like different speakers like all throughout the weekend. They were actually in the middle of the floor, in the middle of all of us. So the guy who kind of worked on, like, was big in with the Commodore VIC 20, started speaking, and I had one person come up to me, and they were like, can you please turn it down, because we can't really hear the speaker over there. And I was like, fine. And I understood, so I turned it down. Literally, like, 45 seconds later, somebody else came up to me and said, hey, I think it's you. You need to turn down your volume. And I'm like, I just did. They're like, well, how recently were you told to turn down your volume? I'm like, 45 seconds ago. So my exhibit was called Premium Audio of the 90s PC was the name of my quote unquote exhibit, which was one computer. Everybody else brought like four or five different things. I brought like one. So I'm the anomaly in this setup. But yeah, so that I got noise complaints from that. So I really kind of watched it. And, you know, sometimes like some kids would come by and they would see the volume meter and turn it up when I wasn't looking. So, yes, the man was trying to shut me down. That was the noise complaints. And so those were actually the only two I got the entire weekend, because I was a little better on Sunday when the second speaker spoke. But I'm like, what did you expect? You knew this is what I was ringing. But it was nice. I mean, I was kind of near the entrance. I was around other 90s era technology, which was nice. I was kind of in the gaming area, and they had like the simulating the ENIAC exhibit was on the other side, and some people actually, I think they made new Enigma machines, which Enigma was the code breaking or the code sending in World War II, and they actually made remade them and stuff, and they're like in these wooden cases and stuff. So all that was on the kind of the other side, and my half kind of had like more of the gaming, some of the gaming stuff, and some of the more recent stuff. So other than the sound complaint, it was great, and even the sound complaint I completely understood. So it was a great festival to be at. And then today we've had storms in the area, and so yes, we lost power. And nothing says "oh my god" like having the power cut off to a bunch of people with vintage electronics that are probably not replaceable, because the power came back on and then went back off. And so we're all like, I was reaching behind because I was not able to get to the power strip. I was in front of my computer. So I'm like reaching behind. I'm like removing that power cord, this power cord, unplugging everything, because I didn't want like things to come back on to blow. And there was throughout the entire weekend, you know, every once in a while we'd smell the stench of burnt electronics and white smoke and stuff. These things happen. But luckily, I don't think anything was hurt from that. And I tweeted a picture of everybody, like, you know, all the people that were there, because a lot of the exhibits didn't need power. They were just like, you know, here's what the inside of a computer looks like. They were like, they just took out their phones, turned on the flashlight, and just kept looking. And like the attendees were not fazed at all. So that was kind of a fun, interesting thing. So that was my weekend. I did take some video. I did it as B-roll. So maybe, you know, I thought I was going to do other things. So I took some video around the convention. I meant to take more, but I never really got out of my little space. So the year I did the YouTube video, I wasn't exhibiting. So I actually, that's all I was doing was shooting that video. And so it's kind of hard because I'm the only person that can run my table. I kind of have to be there the entire time. But I did take some video. So maybe on a Twitch stream, I will show some of it. Ray Janer says, so in short, 8/10 would fest again. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. No, 8 out of 10. It was a 10 out of 10. I've been off for the past couple weeks. So I just wanted to... I do have a news story I want to talk about. But first off, I want to check in with the CEO of a certain CEO speaking to Congress. I want to see what they're a CEO speaking to Congress. Let's check into this.
In the past year, some very violent and offensive games have reached the market, and of course I'm speaking about Mortal Kombat and Night Trap. And let me say that for the record, I want to state that Night Trap will never appear on a Nintendo system. Obviously, it would not pass our guidelines. This game, which, as you've indicated, promotes violence against women, simply has no place in our society.
Yes, Howard Lincoln, CEO of Nintendo of America, speaking to Congress in 1993. Night Trap will never, ever, ever appear on a Nintendo system until 2018, when Night Trap, which is, by the way, rated T for teen by the ESRB. It's not even rated M. It's rated T for teen. It's coming to the Nintendo Switch. How do you feel, Howard Lincoln? Who, people are like, Howard Lincoln must be rolling in his grave. I'm like, Howard Lincoln's still alive. Like, he's not rolling in his grave yet. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase diploma. But that's not the news story I want to talk about. I had that queued up because I wanted to play that, and Howard Lincoln is canceled. He's hanging out with Nestor in old Nintendo Power comics. No, I actually came across this, which is kind of fitting because I was at the Vintage Computer Festival, which had a bunch of people that tear down and modify old stuff, and people like doing that with their current stuff too. And used to be, you know, companies would be like, oh, well, you know, if you do that, we can't do anything with you anymore. And I'm like, and it sucked. And it would stop people from modding. Well, the FTC might be actually stopping that from happening. Polygon has reported that six unnamed companies, including ones that market and sell video gaming systems, have been warned by the Federal Trade Commission that they cannot condition warranty coverage of their products on the consumer's use of certain parts or service providers. The FTC noted the warning in a new news release on Tuesday. It did not say what specific practices or whether consumer complaints led to the notice. It was also sent to companies who market and sell automobiles and cellular devices. The upshot is that a company cannot void a warranty or deny a customer a consumer warranty coverage because they use a third-party part in its operation or because it's been serviced by someone not on a company's list of authorized providers. Those conditions, the FTC said, are a violation of the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, a 1975 law setting forth the obligations of a manufacturer that offers a warranty on a product. The FTC, again not naming any company, provided three examples of questionable provisions it had found. Quote, the use of company name parts is required to keep your manufacturer's warranties and any extended warranties intact. This warranty shall not apply if this product is used with products not sold or licensed by company name. And this warranty does not apply if this product has had the warranty seal on the product altered, defaced, or removed, unquote. The acting director of the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection said in a statement, quote, provisions that tie warranty coverage to the use of particular products or services have both harm both consumers who pay more for them as well as the small businesses who offer competing products and services, unquote. Console manufacturers are among those whose warranties specify that only approved service providers can carry out repairs on a system under warranty. They're hardly the only industry who does so. John Deere, the maker of tractors and farm equipment, puts software in its vehicles that effectively make it impossible to repair the vehicle anywhere but at a dealership. That led to one of the now 18 right-to-repair bills introduced in state legislators across the United States. As Kotaku noted last year, the Entertainment Software Association has lobbied against right-to-repair legislation, arguing that it could undercut copyright protections console makers depend upon. The FTC asked each company to review its warranty and promotional materials to make sure that their language does not say or imply that warranty coverage is conditioned on the use of specific parts or services. The FTC says it would check these materials after 30 days and, if potential violations have not been corrected, law enforcement action may result. So that's good news for people who may want to try fixing their own system. And I know that there are little mom-and-pop operations that will fix, like, the red rings and stuff. And you always have to worry about breaking the warranty seal and things like that. But it sounds like that may not be the right thing. And I know that automobile manufacturers, they named one that does tractors. I know the car I drive, you pretty much have to take it to the authorized service center. And there are only, like, two of them in the area. So good luck. And it's kind of the same thing, except in one state. In Massachusetts, they're required by law to allow the owners of the vehicle to be able to modify it and do things to it. So if you are in the state of Massachusetts, you can actually get access to technical details that nobody in any other of the 49 states can have access to. So, yeah, so that's good news for all the tinkerers and hackers and modifiers up there. But also, people nowadays, if they're going to modify their system, they're going to be like, yeah, I'm breaking the warranty. And then they just know it's a lost cause. So we are going to take a quick music break because I have been coughing for the past couple days, and I've only coughed once during the show tonight. But I'm going to rest my voice for a couple minutes, and then you can call in and talk for more than I do, and that would be great. So we're going to take a quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
You're listening to Bobby Blackwolf, exclusively on The Bobby Blackwolf Show, which is exclusive to VOG Network, which in turn is exclusive to VOGNetwork.com.
That's an exclusive bumper from YYR. I played it last time, too. I'm just going to play because nobody else sends me bumpers. If you want to send me a bumper, I might play it 2 weeks in a row. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers at bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. I'm opening up those lines right now. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in, and I was gone for 2 weeks. There was stuff I didn't cover. I haven't gotten Nintendo Labo. I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. So I did not get Nintendo Labo yet, although I do know that it's already over. Somebody's already played Smash Mouth's All-Star with the cardboard piano. So there's really nothing else left to do with Nintendo Labo. But when I get back, I plan on getting it if I can. So I haven't talked about that. God of War apparently is amazing. I'm still building my 4K home theater. And I will actually pick – it'll be the first God of War game I buy because apparently it looks amazing. And I want to try it. And I want to see it. I want that to be my showcase. And SJ Winter Matt is excited for me and my theater. I am too. If you haven't been following on Twitter, I've actually been posting pictures because I'm not filming because I'm just paying other contractors to do it. So I'm not like doing any work myself except writing the check to the people I'm hiring to do it. But we have the drywall up in the room, so we've stubbed out the room. We've gotten all the pre-wiring for all the speakers and everything. So there's an HDMI cable hanging from the ceiling. We're getting there. I think they've got to sand and do the trim. They're going to do that next week. And then when we get back, that's when they're going to do the final finishing touches. We're going to actually get paint and carpet in there. And hopefully by Memorial Day, I will have a home theater. I had my, shopping spree. The shopping spree you always wanted as a kid, going into because I have to supply the projector because I'm not going with a true 4K projector, so I can't go through the home theater company I'm working with. So I bought the Optima UHD 60. So I already have it. And I've actually even done the wall test and played it on the wall. But then we went to Best Buy and we're like, well, we need to buy the sources that are going to go in there. So we went in and I'm like, I put an Xbox One X in the cart, a PS4 Pro, bought the new TiVo Bolt, which is the new 4K TiVo. So I'm ready for if my cable provider gives me 4K. We should put a Switch dock down there. So I'm like, I could buy the Switch dock, but, my wife's, birthday is next week. And so I'm like, you want a Switch? And so now we have two Switches in the house. So it was actually a lot of fun. And then we went in and bought like 4K movies and stuff. It was the shopping spree that every kid dreams of. I finally got to have that because we had the money set aside. I mean, that's what we were getting with it. So it was a lot of fun. I'll probably never do that again in my life. One time only, and ActF says, TiVo Volt or Bolt? It's Bolt, as in Usain Bolt, Bolt of Lightning. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I've unboxed some of it. I wanted to make sure things work because I didn't know. There's like a 30-day return window, and I don't think the theater's going to be done in that 30 days. So I went ahead and hook up the Xbox One X and updated it. And I'm like, okay, it works. Already played a 4K Blu-ray on my wall. Looks great. Everything works great. Hooked up the PS4 Pro, got it updated. Works great. I've actually hooked up my Switch to the projector and played Mario Kart on the wall. It's great. I'm not worried about latency or anything like that. Tiger Claw says I'm happy with my TiVo Premiere. I am too because I have a TiVo Premiere. That's why I got the new TiVo. That way I can share the shows between them because I've got the XL4 Premiere. So that gets me four tuners, and it records in high def and 1080p and all that stuff, which is great for my 1080p TV that's not going anywhere. So this is just going to add a second TiVo, and I can swap shows between the two of them. So anything I've already recorded, I can send down to the home theater and watch it on the projector. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun whenever it's done. Kazan, talking about Nintendo Labo, he said, I would buy the cardboard controllers if they were priced like normal cardboard. It's not in some weird world where every 2 inches of cardboard adds 4 STR, 4 strength, 4 stamina. You got to realize, when you're buying Nintendo Labo, you are also buying the game. There's software that you put in your Nintendo Switch, and there's a lot of stuff that it does. So, yeah, you're not paying $70 just for cardboard. You're paying $70 for a fully featured pack of Switch mini games, basically, and some cardboard. Now, if you don't, the it's probably $40 to $50 just for the game. If you want to break it down like that, and that's what you're paying for, and you're paying for all the R&D that goes into, you know, making the game and all that stuff. So you're not spending $70 on cardboard. You're spending $70 on the game that also comes with cardboard. And ActF does point out you can get the Labo cardboard by itself by Nintendo's online store. Well, that's what I get for being gone all weekend and not actually researching this stuff. And Fistream says the cardboard by itself is just to replace the bits that will inevitably fall apart. Yeah, so the main bot is like the cardboard is like $6. The piano is $11. Kaijuda says, ah, so the app isn't in the Switch store. It comes with the cardboard. That sounds better. Yeah, it's, and that, dude, that piano, like, I know, oh my, wow, just some cardboard is $12. That piano is pretty impressive for a cardboard, for a bunch of cardboard. I mean, just seeing what type of stuff it does. So, and also, Labo is not for everybody. It is definitely a maker's thing. People who like to build things. They see your virtual reality and they're giving you actual reality. And SJ Winterman says the piano is damn impressive along with the software that came with. I mean, apparently, like, from what I'm seeing is like you can actually like layer on top. So you actually like do one thing on the piano and then you can play on top of it. So I think that's kind of cool. You know, it's kind of the new Mario. This is going to be the new Mario Paint music maker, I think, is going to be people doing things in Nintendo Labo. SJ Wonder Matt says professional music producers are posting videos messing with the piano. I saw some neat stuff in from like Japan, what some of the Japanese people are doing, and they're like playing, like, you know, old classical concertos and stuff on the keyboard. And because I think like if you twist on the side, it changes the octave. So they've got one hand on the side of the piano changing the octave while they're playing because it's just a one octave keyboard. So you twist to get the other octaves, and so they're playing multiple octave piano pieces with the cardboard piano. Yeah, Cousin says, "Oh, it can switch octaves." I didn't know that. Yeah, so apparently the way it works, I haven't built it yet because I didn't get Labo until I get back. But you put the Joy-Con in the side, and because you have to put the Joy-Con that actually has the camera, the IR camera. And so inside the cardboard, that's where inside the piano, that's where they've got IR strips, and that's how it knows what key you're holding down. But if you rotate the Joy-Con on the side, that's how you change octaves. So it's using the accelerometer and the Joy-Con to rotate the octaves, and then you're playing, and it's using the IR camera to see the keyboard. And technical asks if they're pressure sensitive. It could be. It depends on how I haven't built it, so I don't really know. But it really depends on how they built the IR emitters or IR receptors and things like that. Cousin says, I thought it was just like 8 or 10 keys. No, it's 12 keys. It's a full octave from C to C. So it has all 12 keys. SJ Wonder Matt says, I'd like to meet these tech wizards who came up with this so I can find out how they had MacGyver on the payroll. It's a lot of R&D. I mean, they're Japanese. We know that. And hey, that's why it's worth $70, in my opinion, because these are really clever. So speaking of nobody calling in, I hope Skype works. It may or may not. I don't know. But nobody's going to call in, so that's totally fine. Maybe in 2 weeks, when I'm back on May 13th, you guys will call in. It'll be awesome. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and they're also here more often. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm coughing a little bit, but other than that, I'm feeling great.
And we did have some rough attendance last year. There was a lot going on, but I remember there was a couple periods. There was at least two occasions where there were two shows back-to-back we missed, so
yeah.
It happens.
But this is for a good reason.
So. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, for sure. So excited for you.
So what have I missed the last 2 weeks?
honestly, a lot of big game releases this week, it really seems like. I mean, you talked a little bit about Nintendo Labo. Obviously, it was a big deal. But God of War also happened this past week, which I know has a lot of people going pretty crazy. You know, it's not usually my type of game, But I even I've been kind of like curious by some of the changes I've heard, because it sounds like it's very much not like the same type of God of War game that they've made previously. Like, they definitely went like some different artistic directions with it. So I kind of find that interesting and something I probably want to check out. And certainly it helps that it's getting all these great reviews.
Yeah, no, I'm picking it up once I get all my 4K set up, because I think that'll be my showcase.
Oh, there you go. Like your 4K showcase game?
Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Other than that, there's been so many disqualifications on Twin Galaxies for Donkey Kong. I am now the new world record holder of Donkey Kong. So.
Congratulations. You know, Billy Mitchell is still showing up to the Southern Fried Gaming Expo.
He's actually...
I think we have a story tonight that, and I'm going to kind of make a funny out of this and make it a full soap opera segment every time Twin Galaxies' name comes up, because that's all it is these days. Why not? I mean, wrestling is a soap opera too, and those guys make public appearances, so why shouldn't Billy Mitchell?
Yeah. So, I thought he was going to, you know, maybe not show up because all this happened. No, and I mean, I know I saw that there's an article you guys are going to be covering about how he's like, yeah, I don't even know what MAME is. And it's not, you know, all his redemption tour. And apparently his redemption tour is coming to the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which, by the way, we are sponsoring again this year.
I think yay for that. I think it, which means yay, maybe you can get an interview with him. But also, yay, maybe he will. I think one thing he could do to really kind of shut some people up is do it live. Do a playthrough.
Well, I mean, he's done it live, and they invalidated that, too. They've also invalidated his Pac-Man score.
Yeah, that's the part. But maybe like he needs to kind of remind people that like, yes, he is good at video games. But I know when we talked about it last week, we fully, you know, yes, he has done some of these live. So it's weird that he would, you know, feel the need to lie when he's already kind of proven himself in front of a live audience. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know.
But certainly there's some, you know, smoke within what they're, and smoke meaning there's fire. Within, you know, what's being uncovered about these, you know,
records. This is a ploy for the, you know, the new ownership of Twin Galaxies to, you know, give themselves some attention with Heat.
Yeah.
You know, oh, we're relevant again.
Who knew? Who knew? Because when we were on the All Games Network.
I referenced this last week on OLR as well.
who knew that of all that stuff, Mr. Awesome, who spent hours and hours talking dip switches with Scott Rubin and all them.
Let me finish, because I let you finish.
And who knew he was right about everything? Did you sit there and go, maybe he's right? No, I never once said maybe he's right. And it turns out...
Where the hell is Mr. Awesome anymore?
I don't know, but I am sure Scott's trying to find him.
No, Scott's making ice cream. Scott's not trying to find him.
Lawrence is trying to find him, maybe. I don't know, because I know Lawrence still does.
He has gone off into the desert to find himself.
Somebody needs to find Mr. Awesome and get his take on this whole thing.
Dip switches. It's all about dip switches. Dip switch number 2.
SS200 Matt says, please get an interview. All right, done. I'll find him. We'll do it fine. Nobody else wants to do it. Well, OLR, taking the gaming news nobody else wants.
That's right. I don't even know if I want to interview Billy Mitchell. Like, I don't know if I could handle it. Like, I don't know if I'd be good enough.
Oh, you're good enough. But if you don't want it, I'll do it.
You know,
sure,
I'll do it. I don't care.
You know what we should do?
What?
We should, like, have, like, the discussion over tea, and we spill that tea.
You want to sit down and have tea with, you know, 60 and 70-year-old dudes that were big in the 80s?
Hey, I hang with Dan's friends.
Oh, why not?
For pinball.
Why not?
I've hung out with Steve Ritchie for like a solid hour.
Did you have tea with Steve Ritchie?
No, but we had Diet Coke and we were chatting about pinball.
Fair enough.
And then he did the voices from No Fear and Black Knight.
Close enough. It's adjacent.
I will see. Because he's going to be at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. He recognizes me. So Billy Mitchell actually recognizes me when we pass each other. So he may actually agree to me doing another interview with him.
I can vouch for this because I met him for the first time at this last DragonCon. He knew you right off the bat.
You know what? I went Billy Mitchell to play Donkey Kong on the ColecoVision.
Well, that ColecoVision is not his thing.
Why would anybody want to play Donkey Kong on the ColecoVision?
Because it's an actual good version of Donkey Kong. It doesn't have all the levels, but it was the best one out at the time.
Sorry, I'm thinking the Atari 2600.
Oh, why would anyone want to play an Atari 2600? I'm kidding, 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 kidding.
Because it's got the best Halo on it. That's why.
You mean no Halo is the best Halo?
No, Halo 2600 is the best Halo.
Okay.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
It's a sequel to E.T., you know.
Okay. I'll tell you what E.T. can do. It can go back to the dump.
Now, if you put it on Game 3, it's fine.
Somebody fixed it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So,
no, Atari 2600 is better.
I didn't see any Atari 2600s there this weekend. I was kind of surprised.
I guess, yeah, that's kind of surprising considering it's like a vintage, but I guess it's a vintage computing expo, not a vintage gaming expo.
Well, there was Vectrexes right next to me.
Okay,
and they actually had even some color modded Vectrex, and they actually had a cocktail cat table Vectrex.
Did they do Atari computers? Because certainly Atari had a line of computers as well. You know, Atari Party here locally.
Atari Party is defunct now.
Oh, no.
Because I think Bill moved to Washington.
That's right. He did move.
But
yeah.
I think that Dan has, like, the contacts to bring back Atari Party. You just have to arrange it. So I'd like to bring back Atari Party.
Yeah, I want to have an Atari Party.
You can have it hosted at one of those, you know, libraries.
What? Well, OLR's got to plan an Atari Party, y'all.
There we go. Because you guys didn't have anybody in for your quinceañera.
That's true. No, we didn't.
But we are turning sweet 16.
There you go. I'll fly out for that.
I need a party cake and a pretty dress.
And I need to get blow up at somebody because something's just not quite right.
And we'll get you a Barbie Corvette.
Loki needs to have a diva moment.
Because you have to have a car when you turn sweet 16. We'll get Rob the Barbie Corvette.
Sounds good.
What else guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, believe it or not, we'll talk about Halo. We're talking about, no, really, not a joke. Modders are trying to make an unreleased Halo game a reality, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we'll talk about which game is closing its doors not even a year after it started. So much for games as a service, which makes us a little more bitter about some of the news that came out about Anthem this week. So get ready for some very, very, very bitter tea at the start of tonight's OLR. We love games. We promise. We just hate executives.
Battle Royale, all the things.
Yeah, and Battle Royale, all the things.
And no single player anywhere, because nobody plays single player games like God of War.
Battle Royale.
It's all about Battle Royale. Thanks so much, guys. I will see you guys in 2 or 3 weeks or something. May 13th is the next time I'll talk to you guys.
We will see you in 3 weeks, assuming...
I will be at DragCon, I will miss you.
So you'll see Darkstalker in a month, provided that you survive the Battle Royale that you're headed to.
If I see blue, I'm just going to run the other way.
There you go.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back in 3 weeks, May 13th. Nothing until then. Enjoy. Listen to any other independent podcast. Doesn't have to be from VogNetwork.com, but it'd be awesome if it was. We have a lot of great shows, but there are other great independent podcasts out there. Please spend your hour listening to them, and hopefully you will be back when I am here on May 13th. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first or your 610th, thank you so much. So yes, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on Sunday night, starting back in May 13th, here at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper. If you're seeing the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter at Bobby Blackwolf or Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. Like I said, nothing's going to happen in the next couple weeks, but I do have some stuff over there. That's where I am. Feel free to go ahead and follow. And maybe if I do a stream when I get back before May 13th, you can see it there. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it might be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters who are here even if I'm gone the week before. Thank you so much. Dark Soccer, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Rob Roberts, VX Jason XV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, JD, Shadow Next Gen, Tiger Claw, Loki, Act-Deft, Alt, Bull, Bird, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Izdame. I've never had to try to pronounce that. I hope I got it right. Phantaz, Fluke, Kaijudo, Kazan, Mind Blown Man. Orange Right, Pod Culture, Rageinator, Spiffy, SJ Wonder Matt, and VidPower. I will see you guys on May 13th. Maybe earlier on Twitch. Maybe that week before on Twitch. But definitely here on the podcast on May 13th. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.